Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. Joining me tonight is Nick. Nick, how are you doing? Nick, please tell me you're there.
Hey, Joe.
Okay.
Yes, Joe. I am here. Can you not hear me?
No, not previously. Now I can. That was really scary.
Didn't hear when I said, hey, Joe?
No, I did not.
Okay.
That was weird. Because it was just like, you were there, and we were ready to go, and I press record, and then just complete radio silence.
I don't know. Whatever.
Like, oh, God.
I'm not important anyway tonight, so.
Oh, no. Never
that
say
that. That is not true.
We have too many important special guests tonight.
Oh. Aww. That's a great segue into our special guest for tonight. Joining us is Felipe. Felipe, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in here. As for our typical conversation, we talk weather. Yesterday, yes. It was 62. This morning, it was snowing. Welcome to Ohio.
Don't snow.
So, yeah, there you go. Also joining us is Meg. Meg, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Getting over the celebration crud. Woohoo.
Oof, yuck. I understand how that is, which also is telling us, explains what we're going to talk about in a little bit. But first, two news items. This week it was announced that Universal Studios Hollywood has updated their ticketing options. So basically, here's what happened. A little while ago, they up their ticket prices from $93 to $95 a day. And just this week, what they decided to do was offer special bonuses if you buy online. So if you buy online, you get to skip the lines, blah, 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 all that stuff. Also, you get dynamic discounts that range from $5 to $15. So you could pay $80 admission on the least crowded days if you buy online for like a weekday in like October or something. And if you buy online, you get early entry into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter out in California. So this is kind of interesting because this is, while it's not variable pricing, it is the first kind of instance of there being different prices for different times of the year when you go. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Just everyone just speak when you get a chance, I guess.
Eh, whatever.
It is what it is.
I mean, it makes sense for out there.
Yeah, there's absolutely no capacity, so.
I've never been, so I'm not as familiar with over there, but.
I mean, just from me either, but just from what I've seen and everything, like, it makes sense, and they're going to gain a lot of people with Potter, so mm-hmm. It's a different dynamic over there than it is here, so makes sense.
This is true.
Yeah, and I think, and since they have no hotels, they can offer the addition of the early entry as a perk for buying online, which I think is interesting. And also, they got rid of a bunch of their booths because I think they're just expecting so many crowds. So I think this is also maybe something where they want to reduce labor costs a little bit and also prevent congestion with people trying to buy tickets. But anyway, any other thoughts?
I mean, it's fun. It's a good idea, I think. It's just, I don't know if it'll come on this side of the United States for a while, but, you know. In mm-hmm. this fashion, I should say. It's interesting that they're doing it this way. It's kind of different than what we've seen, so I will give them that. But, you know, I haven't been there, and I'm not planning on going anytime soon. So it's just kind of one of those things that is hard to it's the Shanghai Disney problem. It's hard for me to really, you know, get too into it because it doesn't apply to me.
Yep. Fair enough. So next news item, real quick. Is that it was posted online that there's a job audition schedule this coming Tuesday. Well, actually, not this coming Tuesday. A week from this coming Tuesday, on February 16th, Universal Orlando is seeking energetic performers in the following roles at Universal's Islands of Adventure. African-American performers, 5'7 to 6'1 in height with an athletic build. Candidates must be comfortable performing in a fitted mask. So this was announced today, and this matches up with rumors and what we've heard of possibly the King Kong attraction having scare actors or actors at least in the attraction, if not in the queue. So what are your thoughts on this?
Much excite.
All the excite?
Yeah.
All the excite.
Yeah.
It sounds... Oh, sorry, Meg.
No, it's funny because we were talking about it when we were at Dunkin' Donuts. Like Ricky brought it up, and Ricky isn't involved in, you know, anything. So, like if he heard about it, so I don't know. It's cool.
I mean, I think it's really cool, and it's one of those things though. Like I've said before, I'm afraid it's going to get cut really quick, but I hope not. I hope it's really good and it pans out the way it appears it's going to, and it stays.
Some idiot will complain, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the fear.
And that was the audition that was posted, but I have heard of other auditions going on as well for Kong. So, and not with, you know, the African-American 5'7" to 6'1". So we'll see if there's other roles in there too. That's just the one we heard about, but
yeah. Are these performing roles or cast roles? Okay, so it's performing. Interesting, because there's also been the long-standing rumor of there being guides on the individual trams. Mm-hmm. And plus, I think it was last year or something like that. Like last summer, there was the remember there was the event where they announced NBC Girl Brew. They had the set. They had like the camp makeup for Kong there, and they kind of like had a few actors as like a preview. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah, kinda. Vaguely.
Yeah, maybe they're doing something like that too. So maybe there'll be actors in the queue. Maybe there'll be actors on the vehicle, and then you go inside the ride and everything. So that's definitely interesting.
For sure.
Anything else with Kong?
Can't wait.
Yep.
Kong Watch
2016. And also they keep adding more and more Hulk Trek.
Yeah.
Excuse me, back up. So, yeah, I forgot to put that in the news, but there's just always more and more and more Hulk Trek. So, yay, Hulk's coming back. That's it pretty much for news. It's been pretty light recently. It is kind of the February doldrums when it comes to that kind of stuff. But let's get into our main topic for tonight. Last weekend, was it? Yeah. Yeah, it was last weekend. Last weekend was the celebration of Harry Potter at the Universal Orlando Resort.
Yeah,
We had, luckily our two guests were there. They were also part of the social media meetup, and hopefully they'll talk about that a little bit, which made me incredibly jealous when I was at work drinking my coffee in the morning. and I'm stuck in Ohio, and I'm like, grumble, grumble. But the celebration of Harry Potter, is this like the third year they've been doing it? The fourth year?
Yes, third year.
Third year.
They had one in 2011, but it was like a DVD release type thing, but it wasn't the same as the celebration that's gone on for the past 3 years.
Yeah, okay. The first year was just a few panels held in the Toon Lagoon Amphitheater, and some stars were there, but it wasn't like... it didn't have the expo or anything that we have, you know, nowadays.
Are you talking about the 2011 one?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
I didn't go to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to that one. I can't remember exactly how it was, but I know that annual pass holders were able to sign up to attend the panels. And my mom actually won it, and she gave it to me, and that's how I got to go. But it turns out that, I guess... they got less turnout than they expected, and so just anybody in the park was able to get in the panels after all. But there was like some sort of weird like sign up, and you know, yeah.
Yeah. So, as was said, there are panels, there are demonstrations, there are special events, there's a expo center, and also there's meet and greets with the cast. I don't think...
Sort of,
yeah, if you're lucky, I think. And they're not...
like, if you pay a lot of money.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So if you have the money... So random tangent. Did you see like this tweet that went out today about how this mom bought her daughter like Justin Bieber tickets to meet Justin Bieber or whatever?
No.
It was like this 4-page long like handwritten note about how it's too much money, but she loves her daughter so much and all this stuff. And she's like, well, babe, I decided to do it and bought you Justin Bieber tickets and whatever. And they're like $1,122 a pop.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and they bought, she bought two of them. And then my favorite part was, like, in the bottom, it says $6 service charge. So, yeah, anyway, sorry. That's just reminded me of paying a lot of money to meet celebrities. So, yeah, think about that for a second. Anyway, yeah, let's just get right into it. Meg, Felipe, we'll just hand it over to you guys, and you guys can walk through the days and the experiences and highlights and all that stuff, and just kind of, if Nick or I have questions, we'll just dive in and just ask them.
Okay. Well, I mean, the social media meetup thing happened on the first day, so that was kind of like diving right into it, because I wasn't even planning on going until after work on Friday until I won. So... I don't know about you, Felipe, like what your plans were, but yeah, I didn't go last year. I took a half day off because I got into the meetup last year. Well, Angus got in and took me. So, and then this year I actually got in on my own. So it was pretty awesome. But basically, you had to sign up, sending an email in with different names depending on what contest you're entering, because they had Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and then the blog. So you had your four chances, and I don't think anyone was really no one had any expectations. The only thing we knew is that it was going from 8:30 in the morning till 1, which I thought was incredibly long for a meetup. And then the second email, they were like, "We're going to feed you." So that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then, so we get there, and I invited my friend Anne-Marie, because we've done the past, this would be our third celebration together. So she was the person that I decided to invite. And then our friend Daniel, who was one of my Potter Watch friends, got in, and I guess he and Felipe had a deal that whoever got in would take the other one, I guess. I don't know, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. So we get there, Anne-Marie and I are ridiculously excited, so we got there really early. We were the first ones to get our badges, because, you know, first. And we just kind of waited around, and Daniel was actually, they were giving us two tickets to get in, and our Daniel had his friends there, and they were, like, just kind of hanging out and waiting for them to give us their tickets, but they never gave us our tickets, which, I mean, it makes sense as to why. But so they were just waiting around, but people didn't show up to get into this meetup because they must have been dead or something, because I think you'd skip this meetup. But ended up getting in. They just were like, "Yeah, you can come with us." They didn't show up, so you can have their tickets.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they actually got in just, you know,
for being there.
Yeah. So, but then they brought us in, they gave us our credentials, and they took us in through the back way and walked us up through the barricades and straight into the expo, where there was nobody because the expo didn't open until 9. And we got sorted into our houses, and they have this sorting hat there normally, so we just got to do it, you know, without anybody around.
And the far away.
Yeah. Hufflepuff. I was Gryffindor. Like Daniel was Ravenclaw. Anne-Marie's, we're both Gryffindor. So, but that was cool because there was nobody around. We didn't have to wait or anything. And, like, the first six people were from West Palm Beach, though. That was weird.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, "Is this a joke? Is everybody from West Palm Beach?" No. And then they were like, "Okay, well," basically the whole premise was that this is the day in a Hogwarts student who's going there for the first time. Mm-hmm. So even though we got sorted, which was kind of backwards, it led up to stuff happening later. So then they took us over to the London part and told us some cool things about, like, Grimmauld Place and how to get into Diagon, you know, through the Leaky Cauldron. And since there were so many people, and of course Tom didn't want us all going through, they created the brick wall just outside of the Leaky Cauldron for everyone to get in. And then they took us in, and we went to Gringotts so we could get money from our vault. Road Gringotts took up like another tire to like the entire car, basically.
Wait, no, didn't we go to Ollivander's first?
No, that was after.
No? Oh, yeah.
That was after. No, wait.
I'm trying to think, because I think we rode with our robes on.
Did we?
I can't remember.
Maybe we did.
Either way. Either or.
They took us, whatever. Anyway. They did. Now I can't remember. Anyway, so yeah, but we did go into Ollivander's. And they told us to divide into two groups. It was all a blur. That's why I can't remember. Yeah. And they were like, divide into two groups of 12. So all we knew like half the people there. It was kind of awesome. And my friend Meg got chosen. And they walked us out of Ollivander's and didn't make them pay for the wands. And I was like, okay, today would have been a great day to get chosen. But hey, that's cool. Yeah. And they're like, we're going to take you over to Madame Malkin's. And I was like, okay, maybe I still, apparently everyone else thought we were going to get like hats or something, or that the people who were chosen were getting robes. And I'm just walking along like, I don't know what's happening still. But this is why I'm not in Ravenclaw. Anyway.
Although, fun fact before you go there, we actually got to go into Ollivander's through the back door, which is the house elf agency or whatever.
Oh, really?
So that was pretty neat. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it was really okay. But then we walked over there and they're like, oh, now you have to get fitted for your robes. And I'm like, what? We're getting robes? I immediately start crying because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And not only did we get robes, if you didn't get chosen in the wand ceremony, they also gave you a wand. So if you're a Gryffindor, you got Ginny Weasley. If you were a Ravenclaw, you got Luna. If you were a Slytherin, you got Snape. And if you're a Hufflepuff,
you got Fleur.
What?
It was odd. But.
Really?
Not even Cedric Diggory. I mean, they have those. They have those.
Right. So we're just like, okay, thank you for the wand, because...
Don't they also have Tonks' wand?
I don't know if it's interactive, but I know they have it, but I don't know if they have it as interactive.
Okay.
Yeah, because they gave us interactive ones, yeah.
Okay.
But we were just like, okay. And if there were two people there that had robes already, and they got the cardigans, and I was like, so glad I didn't wear my robes, because I'm never going to wear that cardigan.
It's Florida.
Right, exactly. And to be honest, I can exchange the robes and get Hufflepuff for Ricky, so they'll have them now. I'm really, actually really super grateful for that, because that saves a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, but after that, they took I guess that's when we went on Gringotts.
Well,
I believe so.
Really quick, with the robes, did they like... If you did not want the ones for the house that you got sorted into, did you have that option, or did they say since the Sorting Hat sorted you into Hufflepuff, you had to get a Hufflepuff robe?
Oh, no, you could pick. You could pick. They would exchange the sizes. They would – even the wands, you could pick a different one later on. But yeah, you could pick. Like, there was a friend of ours there that I guess she was like a Ravenpuff Huffleclaw, and you know, she switched out her Hufflepuff for Ravenclaw or vice versa. I can't remember, but you could definitely,
she got Hufflepuff, but I didn't feel wearing Hufflepuff robes all day. No offense, but thing, sorry.
Hater.
Yeah. So I think you're right. Cause I remember everyone was having trouble getting into Gringotts with their robes, cause no one had really worn robes before.
So trying to sit down and get into vehicles.
Yeah.
So, like, and I have, so it wasn't a big deal for me. I was just like, whatever. But I know, like, Felipe never had robes before. So all weekend, he was like, I'm over it.
Yeah, I was struggling hardcore. Like, I couldn't go upstairs because I would trip and it was a mess. But
yeah,
it was awesome.
So, then they gave us lunch at Leaky Cauldron. You could get lunch or breakfast because it's like 10:30 in the morning. They gave us ghillie water. And then you could get any drink off the menu that wasn't alcoholic, and then a meal.
Ooh.
So then you could get any meal you wanted.
That's nice. Which was nice. Really good.
So at that point, we've gotten a robe, a wand, ghillie water, water at the beginning, a drink, and a meal. And we're already sitting here going, this is the best meetup ever. And it's not even halfway over. So it was ridiculous. And then after that, they took us over, of course, on the express. We got basically our own car and on the express. And then we get over there and they get us off of the train in Hogsmeade, and they told us about the sign. It was weird because someone had asked me about the sign in Hogsmeade and I didn't know what it was about. But apparently in the middle of the pig, it's a ring, a sword, and a wand. And the ring was for unity. The wand was, of course, for magic. And then the sword was for strength, right?
I can't remember, honestly. I just remember the respect the spell limits he also told us about. I couldn't remember about the symbol. But, yeah, he told us about also the please respect the spell limits, because now since they're, you know, welcoming muggles into Hogsmeade, that, you know, they got to watch out and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we got a really great VIP tour guide, Matt. He does a lot of the HHN tours and everything. So definitely seen him around. But yeah, he's awesome. Matt. Nice.
But then, so they turned us around. They're like, oh, before you go to the castle, you're late for your final class. And I'm like, why are we going somewhere else other than the castle for a class? Whatever. So at this point, I'm talking to my friend Meg. I'm like, this is where we're gonna see the celebrities, because I know it happened last year. That's how I met the twins last year. So we figured then we were going to the Navigators Club, and we went up there and we all tripped over our robes going up the stairs. It was fantastic. And we get up there, and if you've ever been into the Navigators Club, there's like a balcony. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have ever been up there, but
I have.
Yeah, there's like the big room, and then off to the side, there's a little balcony overhang type thing. And out there, as we walk up there, I see Paul Harris, who was the guy who did all the choreography for the wands in the movie. So I'm like, oh, this is gonna be awesome. We're gonna get this wand class with Paul Harris. And we get in there and we have this class with him, and of course I'm right up front, so he's making fun of me the whole time because I'm doing everything wrong, apparently. At one point I had my hand up and it was supposed to be flat, and I had it up like I was gonna give a high five to someone, so he walks over and like high fives me, like and then
he was awesome.
He just kept yelling, like when we were doing this, he's like, with venom. And at one point, I don't know who it was, I'm assuming it was Felipe, they had so much venom that they threw a lens cap of a camera across the room.
Oh yeah, that happened. Yeah, it was me. Yeah, okay. Apparently he told me I was doing it really well, so he like brought me in front of everybody. That's where, like, you'll see the pictures on the blog post, and yeah, you see me. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. like when he brought me up, because I apparently was doing it really well or something. And yeah, so I guess I did it a little too hardcore, and like I was wearing my camera around my neck. And so, like, the lens cap flew off, and it was, yeah, a little embarrassing. But
it was fantastic. That's what it was. But then after all that, he's like, great. And they're like, oh, we're going to get a picture with you. And he's like, well, don't you want to wait? And she cut him off, and he was like, we want a picture with just you. And I'm like, they're coming. I know they're coming. And I don't know what I was doing, but my back was turned when they came out. But Rupert, Matt, and Ivana, who play Ron, Neville, and I said Luna instead of Ivana. Matt, Rupert, and Ivana came out, who play Ron, Neville, and Luna. Okay. And I just remember Anne-Marie, like, whacking me on the arm, going, Megan! And I turn around, and I, like, about screamed, except I, like, laughed my hand over my mouth. I was like, oh, my God. And they said hi to everybody, and I was talking to Matt about when he came down for Diagon last time, and they're like, okay, we want a picture. And I kind of wanted to stand by him, but he went in the back, but it was okay because Rupert Grint stood next to me. And then, like, so Paul Harris was right in front of me, and he had his arm around my friend Meg, who's in the Slug Club, and Rupert, and I was standing right behind him. So when they were done with the picture, I grabbed my phone, turned to him, and I'm like, hey, can I get a quick selfie with you? Is that okay? He's like, yeah, totally. Grab the selfie, and they just immediately take them off. And that was it. Nobody had time for pictures, autographs, nothing. So it kind of sucked because Daniel was all ready with his book, and they were like, no autographs. So
aww.
I probably wasn't supposed to get the selfie, but I did it anyway.
And that's how Meg got the third brother.
Yes.
For her own.
Well, everybody at Celebration from then on basically hated me. Because all my friends were there. How did this happen? And I told them. And even the people that were there were all like, what the hell? Because we didn't get this chance. So I was like, got to be quick. And then they took us back over to Hogsmeade. We rode Forbidden Journey. And then because we had met up with the Dementors in Forbidden Journey, they gave us chocolate frogs and butter beer in souvenir cups. And then they were like, we're done. Finally, here's your ticket, because we didn't need a ticket because we were with the VIP guides and everything like that. And they're like, here are your tickets. Also, here's an VIP express pass for the rest of the day.
Ooh.
So, for all rides except for the Harry Potter ones, of
great.
Course.
Oh. But we had already ridden them, so it was like, whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was the end of the meetup.
That sounds awesome.
Amazing. Yeah.
It was.
Good day.
I mean, I've been to several of the Universal meetups, and this was by far the most... I mean, I've had fun at all of them, but this was just so amazing.
Yeah, we were pretty lucky. I mean...
Yeah.
Incredible.
Ugh.
Incredible.
How would you compare it to the Halloween Horror Nights one?
Oh, God, way above and beyond. And I had so much fun at that one.
Mm-hmm. But
this was way above and beyond.
That's really cool.
I mean, that meetup, it was cool. We had fun, but it was about 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And it, honestly, that was the day you guys were all down here. And I didn't see, I wanted to hang out with everybody, and I didn't get to because I was in the meetup.
Mm-hmm.
Which, once again, glad I got in there, but it really did take up a whole day and or the whole almost all the whole night, it felt like, especially since we ended up getting in Legendary Truth. Like, we didn't do anything that last night. So with this, you know, I had to be there at 7:30 in the morning, but I was still then able to go to the expo and the panels that night.
Mm-hmm. So talking about that, let's go right into the expo. How could you want to explain kind of what was offered in the expo? And some of your general thoughts and some of those offerings?
So every year Scholastic has a big Muggle wall where you can write on it. And this year they had they have the coloring book. And there's actually, I just looked through it right before we were talking, and the stuff that they had on the wall is in the coloring book. So they basically had all the, they had like the houses, and there's like the badger and the snake, and unfortunately it's a raven, not an eagle, and a lion in here that you can color. It's really cool. They had that on one wall, and then they had the Muggle wall you could sign, and then you could get like the posters, and they had a free coloring page. And then there was another, I don't know who it was, but they had like the Lego Hogwarts and some of the toys for some reason that were on display, and a Fluffy you could get your picture with.
The giant one from the FAO Schwartz store.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I heard. When the FAO Schwartz store closed in New York City, they had that in there, so they took it back. So
the
they
Fluffy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big one. Yeah.
Well, it was like 4 feet tall. It wasn't like huge.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, it's big for a stuffed animal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
They kept yelling at us not to touch it. I was like, oh, yeah. Sorry.
And they had Fox, too, up, like, above it, like a big stuffed Fox, the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of hanging there. Yeah. And then they also had the Harry Potter, the exhibition was there, so you could go through and see, like, the stuff that they had. And then at the end, there was a Quidditch picture, so you could take pictures with, like, the brooms and Quidditch gear. They had a Snitch there and everything. Pottermore was there, so you could get sorted, and they had this their new map with all the
schools,
all the schools and stuff on it, and you had to have this special app to activate it, and it didn't really work, but that's okay.
It was sort of like augmented reality, yeah. Like those you put it up against the map, and then it would come up. And
but all it would do was take you to Pottermore. Like, okay. But the cool thing, they had postcards that were just smaller versions of the map, and they work. So if you have a postcard, you could go home and do that. But you could also just sign on to Pottermore, so whatever. And they had a store which just basically had the normal, like, they had robes and socks, and they had a couple. They had a pin and a keychain and a bag, a lanyard and a shirt, and the shirt was kind of, we figured it out then on Saturday that if you're a girl, you probably shouldn't have bought that shirt. Because it had the glasses. Across and we went, oh. Okay. I mean, the design was great, but no.
It's one of those things where if they like actually used it and designed it a little bit, they'd be like, we're not putting this on a shirt.
Right. It was a fail. It was a definite fail. But, and then the Mina Lima were there. They're the graphic designers for the movies. And a lot of the stuff that you'll find in Diagon Alley, they're amazing. They're so nice. And they remembered me. And I think they remembered you, Felipe, right?
Oh, yeah. They remember. Yeah. They're like, oh, you were here last year and the year before. Yep. And
so that was cool. They're really nice people and they're amazing. So, yeah, the and they had this random poster for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, the play that's going to be happening in London. And I couldn't figure out why. It was just like a big advertisement. But we spent a lot of time over there sitting on the carpet. So it worked out. Yeah. And then
some postcards there too. Yeah. They had like four different designs of postcards with, you know, promoting the play.
But the best thing was also the biggest problem, I think, of the expo. They had the WB studio tour there, and the line every day was super long. In fact, on the last day, they were capping it, and it was still 2 hours to get in this thing, because you would go in and they would show you how the wands are made, which is really cool. And then they take you into another room and talk about like hair and makeup, and they had a wig that Rupert wore for Ron, and they showed you how like they would basically spray paint the scar on Daniel Radcliffe's head every day. And then you'd go in and you could get a picture with the Death Eater, which is awesome, because the day that I went in, they were switching out the Death Eaters. And so I have a picture with two Death Eaters. That's it was really awesome. Yeah. But that was also kind of a fail, because the background picture, there's snake.
Yes.
Nagini. Yes. Yeah.
And it's very, the placement of Nagini is terrible.
It's roughly, it's roughly 2.5 feet to 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah. And if you're standing just right, it's, yep.
I should probably put that up with that photo with Felipe for the cover art for the, for the podcast.
You don't need to do that.
With the Brazers logo that Derek Perkin put on.
Yes. Oh my God.
It was fantastic though, because I went in there and they were standing on either side of me and they had their wands to my neck. So it looked like they were, they basically were attacking me. And then the last day I had kind of a duel with the guy. So that was pretty neat. And it was a wonderful setup. I thought it was really cool to see how the wands were made and all the makeup and everything, but if I had to wait longer than a half hour, I'd be kind of upset. And it was like that line was getting up to 2 hours. It was snaking all over the expo floor, and that soundstage is not that big.
Yeah, I waited a little over an hour. I was with Kyle from Cheap Seats and Josh Solomon, who's also like another vlogger on Twitter. And I mean, it was fine. And I was also with someone else, Joey, who's also he's really cool. I would not recommend waiting an hour or an hour and a half like we did for it. It was kind of a weird thing to have there, honestly. I think it was like so mysterious with, you know, like the soundstage sort of, you know, I don't know, hideout. Because you had to go into like a little, you know, room to be able to see the different the parts of it. But maybe if it was like just the stations that you could see from outside without having those walls around it, it would have been better, because people could just like walk by and decide if you want to see it or not. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just, I don't know. It was like kind of a miss with, you know, having those walls there and people didn't know. And so it was like all these expectations, and you see the big line, you must think that it's amazing or something. And then you're like, okay,
yeah,
it's cool. It's cool, but not worth an hour in line for sure. Yes.
Like, we were the first people in there on Sunday, so we just got right in, and it was awesome, but,
yeah.
It's not 2 hours awesome.
No, And then the bad thing is, on Sunday, I guess they must have only had one Death Eater, because there were people that were going through that line and weren't getting pictures with the Death Eater.
Ooh.
You just got a picture in front of the backdrop.
Ouch.
That's yeah, so I would have been mad at that.
Yeah. And for everyone wondering, just so I can explain this a little bit better, inside the soundstage where they had the expo was a smaller building that was kind of built up to look like a replica of the exterior of the Warner Brothers studio tour in London.
Exactly.
And so you'd enter that, and then you'd kind of go through a mini guided tour. It looked like about 10 people, or it was like a conga line. I forget. Was it like a conga? It was like a haunted house, like a Halloween Hornets house.
No. Yeah, they divided you into about groups of 10 people or so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So it kind of reminded me of like the little area off to the right in the American Adventure where you go in, you kind of go around the display case, and you come back, and you go right back out where you came in, kind of.
Yeah.
Is that how it was? Like the flow? Yeah.
Sort of. Like, yeah, basically. Like, you go one in one end, and then you go to one room, and they talk to you about the wands. Then you go in the next room, and they talk to you about hair and makeup. And you go to the next room, and you get your picture. But, like, the picture was so, like, kind of a big fail, because they kept saying, okay, everybody move into the room, and there was nowhere to move. Mm-hmm. Like, if you moved in, you were going to be in someone's picture. So...
Yeah, it just didn't sound properly laid out. It sounded like a good idea, just didn't execute it very well.
But the good thing about the expo that people don't really realize is that sometimes the cast come in there, mm-hmm. and it's kind of just, it's hit and miss. And I'm not going to mention too much more about that, because I don't want people... I've already had people asking me next year if they can follow me around, and I'm like, no.
You're the lucky one.
I'm sorry, but I honestly don't think I would have gotten anywhere if it wasn't for the fact that we had a small group and who I was with. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that that's how I got Ivana Lynch this year, and it's also how I met Bonnie Wright. And Katie Leung, who plays Cho Chang, was also in there, but we missed her. But Rupert and Matt didn't show up there at all until the private event that they had for the people who bought the highest package. Huh. So they weren't in there at all.
Matt was maintaining his mutton chops. That's why.
It was fantastic. Oh, my God.
That porn stash.
That's the best thing ever.
As I said, he looks like he's interviewing or filming Anchorman 3 right now.
He was the one that I was kind of sad I didn't get a picture with, because I wanted a picture with him and that mustache. I mean, I already have a picture with him, but I really wanted a picture of the mustache.
She got in a picture with Matt and Tim Tracker.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you got a Rupert selfie, so, I mean, you're set.
I did.
So, do you guys want to move on to the presentations?
Sure.
Yeah, do you want to?
So they,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they divided them between the Toon Lagoon Amphitheater in Islands of Adventure, and also the majority of them were at the Music Plaza stage over in Universal Studios, Florida. And I mean, they're cool. They had a variety of things. Like, they had some of those learn how to dance like a Bobaton and fight like a Durmstrang. So, you know, for each one of those, they would grab a few kids, or I don't know, like,
but they were all for kids. That was the worst thing, is that a lot of their stuff now are just for kids. It used to be that they had like the wand fighting class, and they had one for adults and they had one for kids. This year it was all for kids. The trivia, just for kids. The dance like Bobaton and fight like a Durmstrang, just for kids. And they had the whole front section was designed for just, you could only have kids, only if you had kids could you go up there. And it was kind of like hit or miss, because the event staff that was watching was doing the best that they could, but there were definitely people in there that did not have kids, and they would not let us up there. So it was kind of like, okay. And then you get the people that, okay, maybe that was their kid, but their kid's also probably like 19 years old at this point. So it was like a mom and dad and a kid, but the kid was not like a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old who's gotten their first wand. No, this kid is probably able to live on their own. But yeah, that was kind of, but that I, that was kind of annoying because they didn't have anything for adults in that area.
Huh. Yeah, that's... I remember seeing the list of activities, and I saw there's a lot of stuff for kids, so that's really disappointing.
And we were talking with one of our event staff friends about it, and I was like... Or no, it was Austin Romero who was doing a lot of the... he was the MC and stuff like that, and he's, you know, big in the entertainment area of Universal, and we were talking to him about it, and we said, you know, if you were 11 years old, even just when the first movie came out, you're 26 now. That was 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're an adult. So people that honestly really grew up with this they're adults now. Like, the whole cast they're adults. And it kind of sucks that I'm glad they have stuff for kids, but a lot of it was geared towards kids. And you just saw it there, like, there weren't nearly as many children ready for these things as there were even adults. So, and then some lady got really mad at me, like, when I got in front of her daughter for an autograph, and I was like, I don't know what to tell you, because I didn't even try. My friend, like, I felt a hand on my back. Someone shoved me in when I was trying to get to Bonnie Wright. And I was like, trying to let them go ahead of us, and I just got shoved in this hole, and I was like, okay, sorry. Like, it's just what happens.
Surprise appearances at the expo are kind of a mess. I was, like, right next to where Ivana came in, and I got mobbed, and I had, like, 10 people in front of me. Like, I was right by her, and, like, all these people came by and, like, shoved me out of the way. So, yeah.
Get all the way, Pufflepuff. Yeah,
that must be it, because this Gryffindor don't let people shove her around, so...
I guess I'm too nice.
Yeah. I also, like, if I'm clearly there to get an autograph and a picture, like, it's going to happen. I'm going to get it. Like, that's also what I'm known for at this point, I guess. But I wasn't even being rude about it. It's just I got shoved in there. And in reality, a lot of the people that were there, they are adults. And it kind of sucks. But at the same time, it's kind of like, and this girl still got her picture and she still got her autograph. But I mean, it was just a mess. And I knew it was going to be, because that's how it is all the time. Every time I've been in an area where I can possibly get a cast signature or picture, it's a mess. Just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I got to say, the stars were really, really, really good about it. Like, Ivana was super nice. You know, I heard that Katie Leung also stayed up, like, signing autographs in Daigun, like, long after the security was trying to, like, pull her, and she would, like, say no, 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 and she would keep signing things. And yeah, so I mean, there was, like, something strange going on with Rupert, because he was, like, barely seen, and, like, security followed him, like, super close, and you couldn't even, like, do anything or barely look at him. You could definitely not get anywhere near him, I mean, if you have, you know, the Meg touch, you can get anything. But yeah, for the rest of us commoners, you know, couldn't even look at Rupert. But yeah, I mean, but in general, the stars were, like, super, super, super nice and approachable and, you know, gracious. And
even though Rupert was wearing a shirt that said antisocial on it.
Yes. Yeah. I noticed that.
Because, like, every time someone would try to get him to notice them or get an autograph, he'd, like, start to do it, and then he'd get pulled back. Yeah. So they were, like, on lockdown. It was crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts.
But yeah, Ivana is known for that. Even last year during her autograph session, she came down and signed and got pictures with the people who were standing out front. Well, except for Angus, but that's another story.
So, anything else about the other presentations or?
The opening night was actually pretty cool. They did a tribute to Alan Rickman, who played Snape, which was awesome and sad all at the same time. And, of course, the actors came out and they did a couple Q&As, which are awesome. But at the same time, people ask the same questions at every Q&A. And we're sitting there at this point reciting their answers because we've seen it so much. And if you bought a package, you have a special Q&A over at Toon Lagoon. And it was the same thing there. They were – my friend Lindsay and Lauren and their mom were here, and they got the premium package, the one that had the autograph session, because you could only get autographs if you bought the premium package. And so they had the autograph session, the special Q&A, breakfast, and a special event in the expo on Saturday night, which they said was really cool, but it was only like an hour. But it was the same questions over and over again. And – we were talking about why they don't screen it, but at the last panel, I got to ask a question, and they asked me what I wanted to say and even made me reword my question. So they do ask you, and they do screen the questions, but they just let the same ones go every time. Like, what's your favorite animal, or what house would you be sorted into, or
favorite spell.
Favorite scene in the movie. It's stuff that I've heard for the past 3 years, and it's stuff that you can see in interviews just about anywhere. And what I really wanted to ask them was something more for theme park people, you know, because everyone's always comparing Forbidden Journey and Gringotts. And I wanted to know what they thought on those, like which ride was better. And I also wanted to hear Rupert talk about like how weird it's got to be to see himself in these rides, because he's in all three.
Yeah.
Like, and he's really the only one who's in all three. And but they would only let me say, which area do you connect with the most? That's what my question ended up being.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm not sure why they let all the same boring now, questions happen.
Whenever they censored your question, did they tell you what to say and you went up there and said it, or did they say, like, Meg from Orlando wants to know, blah, 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 blah?
They introduced me, and then I got to ask my question.
So you still could have pulled an audible. Like, whenever you got up there and you had the microphone in your hand, you totally could have just changed your question.
I could have, but it was just – it kind of happened all so fast.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Concentrating on saying this. Yeah. And he even said, he's like, Rupert will probably talk. And he never said anything. So he didn't even talk about my question at all. So.
Yeah, I think it was just Bonnie and Evie.
Yeah, it was Bonnie and Ivana. Which that's okay, because they both agreed that Diagon Alley was, you know, the best.
And how cool that Bonnie was wearing an E.T. shirt.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
That's pretty good.
But I think, like, the best, it was, even though they got asked the same old questions, like, they asked what character would you be if you had to do this again, what character would you want to be? And, you know, Bonnie was like, oh, I'd play maybe Voldemort. And someone was like, Draco. And then Rupert's like, I think I'd want to play Hermione so I could kiss myself.
Okay. And then Matt was also like, I'd play Hermione too so I could kiss Rupert.
And I was like, this is the best thing ever. So they asked
and a whole bunch of slash fic just got created.
Then they asked it again, because of course we can't have a different question, and they asked it again at the film panel, and they were like joking about how that they were going to change their answers, and then they were like, no, we're going to keep them. Yay. And there was another one was when they cut a line from one of the movies because Rupert was supposed to tell Seamus, like, I'm going to give you a fistful of Weasley, but no one can keep, you know, a straight face. I wonder why. And so after that, the whole weekend, we just be like, fistful of Weasley. And then, but my favorite still, because this is the one that Ivana ended up tweeting back at me the other day. They were asking what Fantastic Beasts from the movie, from, you know, the world of Harry Potter, would you want? And she was like, I want as a pet. And she was like, well, I kind of get the worlds of Harry Potter and Avatar mixed up. Not the one with the blue people, but the anime version. So I'd kind of want a flying bison or a Charmander. Lost it. I was cracking up. And so I tweeted about it, and she tweeted back to me the other day, and that was even more amazing. So We're basically best friends. Basically.
That's fantastic.
And they did, there were, you know, wand raising things for Alan Rickman all weekend. And then, and the first night they did a Lumos Maxima. They had us all say it at once. And then they ended up having fireworks. So that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the picture for that is it, because all the cast had wands on stage and they were all lifting their wands and saying Lumos Maxima for the fireworks to start. And everyone's posting this picture as it's the wand raising for Alan Rickman. And I'm like, it's not at all. It's not at all. Like, it happened, but that wasn't it. But it was cool. We missed a lot of the ones over in Toon Lagoon because it was so, like, we didn't want to go over there.
Yeah.
But
So what about some of the unveilings of information? They unveiled some stuff with Fantastic Beasts, a little bit of Cursed Child preview, and then they talked about the three new schools.
Yep. Ivana Lynch, well, the lady from Pottermore came on stage, and then Ivana came on and was talking about the schools and told us about the one in Brazil, and of course there was a big tour group there, so they were going nuts. We hear them all off to the side.
They all started chanting.
We did. And I was like, well, that isn't stereotypical or anything. And then the robes in Japan, they grow with the student. So you only buy one set of robes and they grow and they change color based on how well your grades are. And then if they turn white, then that's something that you've done that's actually like awful, terrible, and you get kicked out of school. So that was cool. And then I thought they were going to give us news on the school for USA, but all they gave us was its name, Ilvermorny. So that's all we know.
Yeah. And then J.K. Rowling later confirmed that there's going to be like additional houses there or some sort of sorting. Or like some sort of class system there that we would then be able to participate in, I guess.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same, of course, at Hogwarts, but...
Yeah, it's not going to be four houses, and it's just going to be a bison and a...
A flying bison.
an eagle, and actually use the eagle, not just substitute. Womp womp.
I was really hoping that they were going to say something more to that.
Yeah, The Pottermore was definitely like the big reveal. I would say like the Fantastic Beasts, sure, it was like, you know, an exclusive look, but it was pretty much the same thing we've seen before. And for the Cursed Child play, they also, you know, revealed the name, but which they had done before for the actors. And so it was pretty much like everything we've heard before. But
you got to see inside the theater.
Yeah, the theater does look pretty badass.
That's gorgeous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to go. Redmayne talked during Fantastic Beasts, and that made me happy. I love him.
He was wearing that awesome Hufflepuff scarf, too. Like,
right?
That old school one. That looks so cool. I want that.
Yeah.
That is good.
I got to say, too, the Mina Lima people also worked in the graphic design of Fantastic Beasts. So they've done an amazing job with the Harry Potter film. So look forward to more awesome looks in that movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they tell, was it you or Daniel that they told that you asked them? I think it was Daniel. I don't know. Maybe it was you. It was one of you. And you were like, can you tell me about Fantastic Beasts? And they were like, well, there's going to be beasts and they're going to be fantastic.
That's probably guys. Daniel. I don't remember that.
It was Daniel. Also, Mina Lima had these really awesome shirts. His shirt said Mina and pointed to her, and her said Lima and pointed to him. And if you got a picture with him and stood in the middle, it looked like you were Mina Lima. Which, once again, Felipe has that picture.
Yeah.
I do.
That was really good. Any other last comments and thoughts about the celebration of Harry Potter? Anything you want to see happen next year different or the same?
I'm hearing rumors that it's going to not be a free event anymore.
Interesting.
So, will I pay for it? Yes. Am I sad that I have to pay for it? Uh-huh. But, I mean, I was thinking about getting in the package next year anyway, because I can't be as lucky as I have been the past 2 years to get what I've been given. So I have a feeling next year I'm going to have to pay if I want to do anything special.
Yeah. Which is I mean, fine. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's a rumor. We're not sure. But they might have, like, paid experiences, but not, like, the whole thing. I'm not sure. We'll see.
They need to have the autograph session be
paid.
It's got it. This year didn't work, but last year didn't work either.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be something else.
What about making the using one of the larger sound stages for the expo?
They need to.
That would be great. They need to, yeah, because it's really, really claustrophobic in there, and the lines to get in this year got really out of hand. Like, you know,
4-hour
waits or something. Yeah, it was crazy.
The line on Sunday was all the way to Transformers.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I feel like they could learn a lot from Star Wars weekends if they keep this up. Like,
yeah, some of the ideas from there. Yeah, a lot of people say they should spread it out over a couple of weekends. I was talking to Seth Kubersky, and we were saying at least, you know, you got, what, January or February? You could definitely do it there and spread it out. You know, people coming from out of town would, you know, go different weeks. And, you know, even locals. But, you know, one weekend, it's kind of like packed, everybody going. And sure, it's supposed to be a slow weekend, but still, you know.
I mean, even like if they kept the autograph session, like how they have a fast pass system at for Star Wars, how they used to have the fast pass system for Star Wars weekend. They had a certain number and that was it. You know, if you got there early, you got it. And if you didn't, you did.
But yeah, Universal won't let people line up.
Yeah, that's a problem,
too. They do not like that. They do not like, because with Disney, you can get at the front of from front of Hollywood Studios, and you can camp out all night if you want. And I have multiple times. I got there when John Ratzenberger was there a couple years ago. I got there at 8 o'clock the night before, and there was already a line going. And the park wasn't even closed yet, and there was a line. So if they could do something like that, that would be great. But Universal just does not like people lining up.
Yeah. So, we tried that last year and failed.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you and Daniel were there. Daniel was there all night. And you were there for most of the night. And we still caught up with you the next morning because they wouldn't let anyone line up. Even for the opening day of Diagon, we got kicked out. We weren't even sitting in City Walk. We were sitting on the outskirts, and they were like, you have to leave.
Yeah.
That's silly.
They don't – I mean, they would have to have more security because of how it's set up there, I guess.
Yeah, it's understandable. I mean, it's a whole different setup, you know, Disney and Universal.
But they just really don't like people getting in lines. Like, even the first year we went, we wanted to stand in line for the final panel. And they would not let you line up for the final panel. Told us to come back, and there was a line. And so we got in the line. They're like, this isn't a line. I'm like, it's a line. Like, you may not want it to be a line, but it's a line. And they kicked everybody out and made us all leave. And then it was just so bad.
Anything you'd want to see them offer, like, in terms of events or like panels, because I mean they've been doing some of the same panels year over year.
Panel wise, I wish they would screen the questions for the Q&A. I wish that I honestly think, and it's cool because at the same time, most of the people that are asking the questions over and over are kids, but some of them are adults, and I'm just like, oh, here we go again, and. The film panel Q&A that was kind of nobody knew what was going on. It was more controlled, and I kind of liked that better a little bit.
Yeah, but I think with the setup they have for the panels, it's good. I mean, we go there every year, but I'm sure like newcomers who go, it's a good mix of things. You know, Q&As, they have, you know, trivia, they have the, you know, the learn the choreography for the dance and the whatever, and they also have, you know, the making of the theme parks, and
that one's cool.
You know,
I miss that one.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a pretty good mix of things. I don't know what else they could add. I'm pretty happy with it. Yes, maybe we've seen it before, it's still cool, even, you know, if we have seen it before, since we're fans. But
I don't know what else they could really add, to be honest, panel wise.
I mean, it's a good mix of theme parks and films and books and stuff. So
maybe just maybe more stuff based on The Cursed Child and Fantastic Beasts, I assume, then?
I think they'll add that stuff next year. Maybe not about The Cursed Child, but because that's not going to be something that everyone can really see.
Mm-hmm.
So they might have something like that, but I don't think it'll be... I think they'll have something for Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, for sure. They had like a poster, or not a poster, but like a cardboard, like standing up square sort of thing with the poster for Fantastic Beasts, which I thought was kind of lackluster. Like, they've had some like amazing things. Like, a couple years ago, they had the Gringotts set that you could take a picture with. That was like the best, amazing.
The photos had a lot to be desired this year.
Yeah, to be quite honest, I think this was like a step down from last year. The expo last year had like the Ford Anglia in there. They had a different photo booths or whatever. And then even, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but they had like the post office that had just come out with the Harry Potter stamps. And they also like took a picture of you and printed it up for you for free with like a postcard. I don't know. They had like a bunch of different things that felt a little better before.
Yeah, last year they had this booth like set up where you had like a GIF that they made. They take three pictures and they'd make it into a GIF. And then they had like the table from the Great Hall and Buckbeak that you could get a picture with. And I just thought I think the photo ops were way cooler.
Okay. So improve the expo photo ops and kind of stuff offered. Change up some stuff.
Yeah, those he didn't have a line for. That tour was insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, but even still, if you couldn't touch the Ford Anglia, like, you were there and you could get a picture in front of the Ford Anglia, unless you're my friend's mom who got to sit in it.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Last year, one of the guys that was walking around during the opening of Diagon, we didn't know his name. We called him Pretty Hair Guy. And we met him last year and found out his name, except I don't remember what it was. I just still call him Pretty Hair Guy. And my friend's mom was like, can I sit in the car? And he kind of looked at her and he's like, you know what? If my workers did what they were supposed to, it should be locked. If it's not locked, you can sit in the car. So he tried to open it on the passenger side and it was locked. And he walked around to the driver's side and it was unlocked. Unlocked the door and she got to sit in it. And then he took a picture with me and then one with me and Daniel, and I got to actually be in there and touch the car with his permission.
Nice.
Yeah, but like that was amazing. It was also the same day that I disappeared to get a picture with Dumbledore.
Oh, okay. you and your photos. What are we gonna do with you?
Still, someone calls out, oh, look, there's a celebrity. I'm usually pretty much there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, even though, I mean, I am saying that it was a little better last year, I got to say, it's still, like, really, really cool. You know, they give you a lot of free stuff. A lot of it is, like, paper, but it's super cool. Like, there were really nice posters and postcards, and they have, like, these cardboard ties, the different houses that you can put on, and
you can buy all this on eBay right now, by the way. Someone is selling all the stuff that you got for free inside the expo on eBay.
Oh, jeez. Well,
what's new? I mean,
I know. I was like, well, people are complaining, and I'm like, yeah, it's what people do, because
part of the course.
Yeah.
So, any last thoughts, real quick, about the experience before we wrap this up?
I would highly recommend it if you're a Harry Potter fan. It's like one of the best times to come. You know, you have the parks, which are amazing any day of the year. But that day, you know, or that weekend, you know, you get to do a lot of extra things. You get a lot of freebies at the expo. And, you know, if you're lucky, you might get to meet some of the stars. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Don't hang out with me because I won't do it.
Yeah, so definitely recommend, for sure.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. Like, the energy of the weekends are so different. The cosplays that are there, are just to see that, these Some of them are absolutely amazing.
I saw some of those. Those are crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the four. They had the four heads of houses, but they were all female. So it was a female Gryffindor and a female Slytherin. And then, of course, Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff are already female, but they had the four heads of houses as females. Lots of Quidditch players. Snape dressed up as as Neville's grandmother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that one.
There were a couple of them this year, but the guy who does it year after year, I've seen him at LeakyCon and GeekyCon and past three celebrations, dressed up as Snape with his wife who does Trelawney. And then at one point at the weekend, they were nearly headless Nick and the Grey Lady. Or no, she was Helga. She was Hufflepuff. Yeah. Yeah. No.
I think she does McGonagall too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's true. That's a really great point too. Usually Universal is very like uptight about their costume policy, and they're a little more, you know, lenient during this. You still can't wear masks, but otherwise, like, you know.
There's a guy dressed up as Lockhart walking around, and he has an iPad and a book, so it looks like he's moving. He's really amazing. I've seen him at Leaky before. But the cosplay is amazing. And, you know, when you go into Diagon and Hogsmeade and you have the people that are really into Harry Potter, but the people that really come to this, basically it's a con in a theme park. And they're as big as nerds as I am. I get made fun of all the time. And when I'm there, they're just like me. Mm-hmm. It's honestly my favorite time at Universal. And there's just, you know, there's just something about it. And we were watching at one point, they had the barricade set up and there was this whole area where no one was standing for whatever reason. And all the people were behind the barricades, basically outside of the music plaza. And they were like, okay, we're going to open this up and we need you to walk. And I feel like any other time people would have been trampling down the employees and running, and they walked in an order. We were ready to video this what we thought was going to be a giant cluster, and they all just walked forward and were so respectful and nice about it. It's stuff that you don't normally see, and it's Potter, I don't know, people. My people,
best people. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. And it's and the employees love it too, because a lot of them are really into it. And you know, I know a lot of them from when Potter Watch happened, and they still recognize us and they still say hey and give us hugs and want to see us happy. And when we meet a celebrity or they see me crying, because that happens so much, they're genuinely happy for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're really happy. When I met Bonnie Raitt, I was shaking so badly. And I walked over to Daniel, who was talking with one of the higher ups that we knew from Potter Watch, and she hugged me. She was so genuinely happy that I had gotten to meet this cast member that I hadn't met before. So it's just something very, very special. It's the energy there is nothing like anything else. It's just amazing.
Cool. Great. So let's wrap it up. Felipe, where can we find you online at?
You can find me online on Twitter at Felipe, WWOHP. And you can also find me around Orlando United, which, as a matter of fact, within the next couple of days, I will have an article with pictures all about the HP celebration. And that is that.
Cool. Meg, where can we find you at?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Megadiz13, MEGADIS13. And I'm also part of the Central Florida Slug Club, so I'm starting to become more involved in that. And that's, of course, the Harry Potter club right around Central Florida.
Nice. I don't know if I follow you on Instagram, so I should probably do that. I need to look into that. Yeah.
It has Rupert picture up, which oddly has less likes than my picture with the double Death Eaters.
Hmm.
400 some likes for the Death Eater picture and like 70 something for the Rupert. I was like, okay. I don't know what to do with that. But okay.
It's the jealous people, Meg. It's the jealous people.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm following you.
Yeah, I'm following you. Never mind.
I never post. That's probably why. I have been lately, though.
So, yeah. Nick, where can we find you at?
It's Parkscope Nick on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram at Parkscope Nick, but I never post, so it's not worth your time.
Well, there you go. What's the point? So you can find all of us at Parkscope at parkscope.net. You can find us at Parkscope on Twitter. I'm at Parkscope Joe. Go find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Go rate us. Be nice to us. Leave nice comments or bad comments. Whatever you want to do. We're not judging. On behalf of everyone, thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Kungaloosh.